Apple is considering taking a multi-billion dollar stake in Toshiba's chip business. This is according to Japanese public broadcaster NHK. Toshiba is in the process of selling its memory chip unit to raise cash to cover the write-downs at its U.S. nuclear unit.
The accommodation booking service Airbnb is improving the security of its app and website after a BBC investigation found people's homes being burgled by criminals using stolen accounts. Once they've hacked an account, the scammers change the personal details and use them to book properties. Airbnb says that it will now warn members if their profile information is changed.
It's time to get your deductions together and fill out your forms. The income tax filing deadline is quickly approaching. And before you panic, take comfort in this. You have a few extra days to get your refund to the tax man. The deadline is April 18th.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you. It is 5:10 and today is Friday, April 14th, also Good Friday in the Christian faith. It's Dave Player in for Steve Grzanich this morning here on The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. So today is a market holiday, but not a holiday for talking business. On The Opening Bell this morning, we'll have our weekly segment. Joining us is Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago to talk this week about the earnings and the headlines in business. Then we'll hear about from Rick Sweeney, CEO of FairCompare.com, about the troubles over at United Airlines this week. And later I'll share my interview with Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago, on his new anti-violence initiatives here in the Windy City, including a new jobs program. All that coming up after we check the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning. Again, markets are closed today. Dow futures, NASDAQ, and the S&P were down slightly yesterday. Asia closed lower following Wall Street losses after U.S. dropped the mega bomb. European markets are closed for a four-day spring break. Now, we have some business news happening around the world yesterday and overnight. The weekly jobless claims report came out yesterday. The number of Americans filing for unemployment aid unexpectedly fell last week, and consumer sentiment rose early this month amid continued optimism over household finances. Markets have been raising some red flags this week that analysts say could result in increased volatility and possibly a stock market pullback in the near term. Driven by worries about North Korea, Syria, and the French election, investors have been loading up on safe haven plays and lightening up on risk. JCPenney is postponing closure and store liquidation sales in 138 stores, they recently announced. Penny spokeswoman stated that ever since they announced the store closures, they have been better than expected sales and traffic. So the liquidation will now begin May 22nd instead of April 17th. Penny said earlier this year that it would close these stores in a bid to cut costs and focus on its most profitable locations. Gold, silver, and prices for other metals leapt yesterday, bolstered as the U.S. dollar was shoved lower after President Donald Trump said the currency has been trading at too strong of a level. Gold is nearing the 1,300 level and has gained nearly 11% this year. Silver is up even more, nearly 15%, sitting at the $18 level. And Sunday is Easter, the most important holiday on the Christian calendar. It marks the end of Holy Week, the end of Lent, and the last day of the Easter Triduum, which is Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, of course, as well as the beginning of the Easter season of the liturgical year. Well, it is Friday, which means it's time for our regular contributor, Paul Nolte, with Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He has a pulse of what is going on in the world of business and the business week in review. Good morning to you,
Good
Paul.
Good morning, Dave. Nice to be with you.
Are your taxes done?
Taxes done, refund deposited, contribution my IRA made. Well, you got to remember, I get all excited in February when all this stuff gets
right,
in and
okay.
Get it all done so I don't have to worry about it when the weather turns warmer.
I filed for an extension yesterday. Well, we have a small business, so we've got some things to work out before we do our taxes ourselves. So that's just what happens for us. Interesting week, of course, on Wall Street. Many earning reports released. What are some of the highlights?
You know, the banks were the big ones yesterday, and everybody was looking into banks to get an indication of how things are going from a business perspective, loans, et cetera. And what was interesting in all the banks that were reporting, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, their trading activity was good, meaning, you know, in the financial markets, buying and selling securities and so on. Their loan growth was down a little bit. And they did make some comments about the yield spreads, the difference between short-term rates and long-term rates. The wider those are, the bigger that difference, the better it is for banks because they take in money for deposits, pay the deposits, and then borrow long. When that's fairly narrow, and that's what's been happening now over the last 2-3 months, it hurts their overall earnings or their ability to make money. So those were a couple things that were noted. And the bank stocks have actually been very weak over the last 3 months or so. Coming off the election, they were very strong on the anticipation rollback for Dodd-Frank and regulation. Things would be better, the economy. That has not proven to be the case so far. So banks have suffered here in the market.
Wells Fargo specifically with all the scandal that happened, obviously.
They have some of their own issues, absolutely. Yeah.
With the market still within 2% of all-time highs, it feels as though stocks have fallen further over the last month or so.
It has. And, you know, banks have suffered. And it's kind of an unwind of the Trump trade. Because the expectations coming in were that, again, rollback of a lot of things.
Yeah,
we're going to make America great again. So we're going to do a lot of spending in the United States. Taxes are going to be reduced. So you saw a lot of the industrial stocks, the bank stocks do very well. And a lot of the utilities, consumer staples, the safety stocks did very poorly. That's really reversed here. And so you've gotten a lot of people that have gone into that trade now getting caught coming the other way. So again, it doesn't feel like we're all that high right now, and volatility has picked up. We're seeing now 100-point swings on a daily basis. We haven't seen 100-point daily swings for a while. So that gets everybody a little unnerved when we see the markets do that. And the markets have been down pretty consistently now for the last 5 or 6 days. And again, you know, when you get the markets down 4 or 5 days in a row, it feels like an eternity before since the last time we had an up day.
Well, stick around. We're talking to Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. There's more. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich here in the opening bell on 720 WGN. And on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we're following some stocks after earning reports came out yesterday. Citigroup said first quarter profit rose 17% as rising interest rates boosted client trading activity more than the bank's lending income. Quarterly profit at the New York-based bank increased nearly $4.1 billion from $3.5 billion a year earlier, topping forecasts. J.P. Morgan Chase reported first quarter earnings and revenue that easily topped estimates, lifted by better than expected loan growth and trading sales. J.P. Morgan reported earnings shares of $1.35 on sales of $24 billion in the year earlier period. PNC Financial Services Group released a profit for its first quarter that rose from last year. The company said its bottom line rose to $963 million or $1.96 per share. And Wells Fargo sales practices scandal isn't going away anytime soon, with first quarter profit essentially flat as the bank struggled to win customers. But amid signs that the storm over fake accounts is easing, branch employees are starting to promote new accounts to people. The company said Thursday that new checking account openings were down 35% in March from the same month a year ago, and new credit card applications were down 42%. Both metrics improved from the activity in February. It is now 5:22, and it's time for Your Money.
Hey, it's Your Money. Clock's ticking, procrastinators. It's almost time to get that income tax return completed. More people are e-filing, and that eliminates a lot of errors. But H&R Block's Catherine Pickering says you still need to be careful and double-check everything, because there are some things the programs won't pick up.
You transpose some numbers, you miss a letter in your name, and that can slow your refund from being processed.
And if you're going to do it old school with a paper form, remember you have to have it postmarked by midnight on the 18th. Daria Albinger, ABC. News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
All right, Dave Plyer and for Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN. We're talking to Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management this morning. So for all the talk about higher rates, whether 2 or 3 increases this year, reducing the amount of bonds the Fed will be buying going forward, the bond market seems to be remaining pretty calm.
They are, and I think part of that is exactly what we were talking about, is the fact that if interest rates do go up here, they're anticipating in June and then again in December to raise rates. And now they've put on the table that all the bonds that they've been buying, mortgage-backed securities, et cetera, they're going to try to find a graceful way to unwind those. which means that as they mature, they may not reinvest those proceeds, or may reinvest some to reduce their overall balance sheet, because right now they have a huge balance sheet. They're supporting the interest rate market. The fear is that as those unwind, that supply increases, or roughly stays the same at least, but the demand decreases because the Fed is not in there buying, so it has to be absorbed by somebody else. And that has the impact of pushing up interest rates. It's going to be interesting to see how this unwinds, and that's why some of these reports that we're talking about, like the retail sales later today and some that we'll see in the next coming months, as well as the inflation reports, are going to play into, does the Fed really need to raise rates if the economy doesn't pick up? And again, as we talked in the first segment about the Trump trade and the economic activity picking up, if that doesn't happen, it's going to be much more difficult for the Fed to justify increasing rates later this year.
Speaking of President Trump, does his rotation toward international hurt the domestic agenda that markets have been really counting upon?
I think so, because we saw that really in the market yesterday. So after the news hit the wires that they had dropped the bomb on Afghanistan.
While Wall Street is open, always going to make an
impact. Yeah, so the markets were down probably about 40, 50 points and went down 100 right after that news hit the wire. And I think that's part of the reason that the markets have struggled here in the last couple of months, because we've now been involved in Syria. We're talking about North Korea. We're having some issues with Russia. And all of that pivot to the international is taking away from the domestic agenda. And we have not really done anything with Obamacare. We haven't done anything with taxes. And now people are going, well, maybe he doesn't have the backing, enough support in Congress to make anything happen. So we're left with what we have been for the last 6 years or so. And again, going back to that economic growth, the economic growth over the last 6 years has been somewhat less than 2%. And we'd really like to see it much more than that in order, again, for the Fed to justify increasing interest rates.
Where's the inflation everybody's talking about, Paul?
That's just it. We don't see it. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. We saw it in the 70s because everybody got cost of living increases. So if I increase my rates or my products by 5 or 6%, that filtered through to the employees, they got 5 to 6% cost of living increases. So it became a virtuous cycle. We're not seeing that right now. Wage growth is only 2-2.5%. So if I increase my prices at the retail store and I'm only getting a little bit of an increase in my wages, it's hard for me to justify buying whatever that product is. I'll shift my buying to something else. So without wage growth, it's going to be hard to see inflation persistent and stay much higher here.
And then on the other end, retail sales are due out today. And I think about all the brick and mortars and the Walgreens announcements and Target that they're going to close stores. Sears is really on the bubble right now. There are some retailers that are growing, like Ulta, I mean, still opening stores and being very successful at it. But the days of the brick and mortar are getting a little shaky unless you're really embracing the internet. Are the consumers back at this point, or are they backing away?
The answer to a lot of those financial questions is always the same. It depends. Amazon. So when you look at a lot of the mutual funds or the ETFs that are consumer-oriented, consumer discretionary, the biggest weights in those ETFs are Amazon and Home Depot. So it is very much a internet world, and what you can't get on the internet, like a 2x4, you're right. over at Home
Absolutely.
Depot.
Yeah.
So there is a big shift. I talk to a lot of people. I love Amazon Prime. We buy everything that way. Don't really go to the store much anymore.
It's funny you mention that. I think about the big box retailers like Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards trying to squash the smaller local neighborhood retailers like the Ace and the True Values. And quite frankly, those are the ones that are going to end up surviving, because you need those things. You need to go pick them up and you need to get them right away.
When you're doing a home project, you're invariably at that store three times during that project. So yeah, it's never one and done.
They'll come out ahead. Paul Nolte with Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. And your website, Paul?
Is kingsviewam.com.
There you go. Thank you, Paul. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
And good morning to you. It's Dave Player in for Steve Grzanich on The Opening Bell this morning on 720 WGN. So United Airlines has been in the headlines this week. Yesterday afternoon, Steve Grzanich sat down with Rick Cini, CEO of FareCompare.com, to talk about their crisis and how it affects the business of the beleaguered airlines.
Here we are talking about United again. First, the leggings, but this seems a little bit worse, doesn't it?
This is about as bad as I've seen it, to be honest, Steve. I watched the video, and I rarely get cringe when I watch something, but that was about as painful to watch as you can possibly get. And clearly, it's a confluence of really terrible events. I mean, you have 1 billion passengers almost last year that fly. All of them have cell phones, completely crammed full flights. They're overselling flights in the age of 2017, when that was so 1992 to oversell a flight. Back then, they didn't have $200 change fees where you're actually getting more money when people don't show or cancel their flight. They're already recouping their revenue. They shouldn't oversell flights, first of all, and they should never let anybody on an aircraft that they know they're going to end up pulling off. There were so many mistakes made, and the passenger made a mistake too, but actually watching it was like that person clearly didn't understand what their rights were, and the fact that if it's zero tolerance nowadays, the pilot, flight attendant, gate agents, they are, once you buy a ticket, they become the judge and jury for everything. And once they hand that off to TSA, to the airport security, you're going to leave that flight no matter what. There is zero tolerance in the age of terrorism.
Well, and then we see the CEO Oscar Munoz with his statement last night seemingly doubling down on all of this, and many people are saying that has just made this worse.
I agree. Essentially, they cut and paste part of the contract to carriage and put it in a tweet, which that's the language they use inside the contract to carriage. They use the word reaccommodate. Clearly, that's at best, that's tone deaf. At worst, it's sort of like, you know, PR 101 is simply apologize profusely. Say you're going to get to the bottom of it. You're going to investigate what happened and you'll let people know.
Well, based on your experience, where did it break down? Who do you think's at fault here? Where can it be fixed for the next time?
Yeah, a couple of different things. I think clearly, in my opinion, DOT should look into the practice of overselling tickets just generally. I think that's something that they don't have to do. Airlines like JetBlue don't even do that anymore. There's modern computer systems. People know that. We have huge penalties that are allowed to occur if you have to change your ticket. So there's no incentive not to show up for your flight at the end. And nobody buys refundable tickets anymore unless their boss is paying for their ticket. So that's number one. Number two, when they're asking for people to volunteer, they should actually tell everybody their rights as part of that statement they make. When they're offering 400 and 800, they should be saying, I'm offering you 400, but if nobody takes that later on, I'm going to give you a total of 1350 in cash. Right. So they should be saying that when they actually do it. In fact, the rules, the way I read them, they're actually supposed to do that. And, you know, airlines should just know that who cares? It's for passengers, an additional $1,000. And essentially that's a credit to the airline. So it's not a real, $1,000 each. It means nothing when you have tens of millions of dollars in bad PR like we saw here.
Well, and you're absolutely right. Maybe even approaching $1 billion in bad PR. United stock initially went up, but then went way down. This could be kind of a costly thing for United. What was the CEO thinking when the whole approach seems odd?
Well, I can guarantee you that the CEO immediately contacted their PR firm and said, what should I do? And if the PR firm gave him that advice to actually tweet that out, then that shouldn't be his PR firm anymore.
Let's talk a little bit about this contract for carriage, Rick. What is it? What are people's rights? Because the way people are reading this, you can be barred boarding, but this man was removed from an aircraft.
Right. So essentially, and this... when you actually buy an airline ticket, just like when you press that button on your iPhone that says you agree to the terms and conditions, the 50 pages of terms and conditions, you're also agreeing to 20 pages of a contract of carriage with the airlines. And essentially, you're giving away almost all your rights around that. It gives wide latitude to the pilots, flight attendants, gate agents. They become the new judge and jury. They can decide pretty much on anything. You don't have a right to that seat necessarily. You're just buying sort of the right to fly. They can revoke that at any time. And, you know, there's a lot of language around Mother Nature and a variety of other rules. The DOT does have rules that become part of that contract of carriage. It says if they have to reaccommodate you because you didn't volunteer, if they get you there to your destination in less than an hour, you don't get anything. If it's between an hour and 2 hours, it's $675. And if it's between over 2 hours, it's $1,350 in cash, by the way, and they still have to get you to your destination. Most people don't know this either, but you can get that $1,350, plus you can request to go on another airline and they can reaccommodate you there. I know a lot of people didn't want to take the next flight out because it was almost a day later before the next flight was going to that destination, but there were plenty of other airlines that they could have taken to connect into that location that they could have reaccommodated. And if you just ask, they'll do it.
Are the airlines, are they bound by that figure? Because I know some other airlines, they'll go higher than $800.
I've been there where they've offered up to $2,000 before.
Yeah, and there are even some, as I was looking around on this, people blogging about how they actually make money going and being bumped from airlines for this.
Oh, yeah. No, a lot of people around holiday periods will actually buy inexpensive tickets that they can in the morning and hope to get bumped three or four times during the day just so they accumulate enough credits in order to fly later.
Well, it's no surprise that United wasn't too high on this latest list of performance of airlines. But all of the airlines seem to, over the last year, have done really well and generally get good marks. What's the highlight from the survey?
Yeah, the survey shows that essentially on all the key categories, in the case, and typically that's get me there or take off on time, they've gotten better, airlines in general. Don't lose my bag, they've gotten better on that as well. A lot of people just don't check bags anymore. That's one of the reasons it's gotten better. A lot of these airlines are taking all new aircraft, so there's less complaints there. Even Spirit had less complaints than they've had in the past, and they have a business model that people don't really realize until they take their first flight on Spirit. Now, I will note, too, that, you know, if you're sitting at another airline saying, woo, I'm glad that video wasn't on my airline, you should be sitting back and saying, United having an issue is my issue, too, because if people start flying less in general because they see stuff like this continuously, and you know, an average person takes 2.2 flights per year and they start taking 2.1 flight per year, we're talking about billions of dollars to the entire airline industry. So it's not just United that's being hurt, it's the entire airline industry.
You know, these annual performance ratings, by the way, from Embry University, Wichita State, Alaska and Delta Airlines were 1 and 2. United, I think, was 9 or 10. Any other highlights from that report?
Yeah, no, I think, again, Alaska now has actually been merged with Virgin America. That brand's going away, and Virgin America was one last year. So Alaska essentially becoming sort of solid number one. The biggest legacy airline, Delta, actually moving up from 3 to 2. But this is, I guarantee you, if this poll was taken over the last week and a half, Delta wouldn't have been in the number two slot.
Yeah, I know this.
Because they had a bunch of issues in the last week and a half or so. So essentially, what happens is, in a lot of these regional jets, which is almost half of all flights that are out there, and that's why you see places, airlines like SkyWest and ExpressJet, they're not flying under that brand name. They're flying for Delta, United. So when you look at these statistics, you have to say, well, which one of those SkyWest flights was really Delta? So is Delta really number two, or are they really number seven or number nine?
Well, I know you've had your hands full with this United thing, but any cheap fares out of Chicago?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, you know, Chicago now is the second cheapest city to fly out of in the country. You can actually get to either coast, even in the summertime, which is kind of unheard of, for under $180 round trip. That includes places like Los Angeles, all the northeastern coast cities, Boston, New York, Washington, South Florida and Miami under $200. So, again, I think the one thing that I did notice that actually has occurred since we chatted about this last week is that Canada actually has gone up about 20 or 30% in the last week and a half or so. So if you're planning a Canadian flight, you missed the window, but I think those prices will come back down in the next couple of weeks.
All right, Rick, happy travels.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning to you once again. It's Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich this morning. From the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, U.S. markets are closed today. Dow futures, NASDAQ, and the S&P were all slightly down yesterday. Asia markets closed lower, and European markets are closed for a four-day spring break. Now for the Associated Bank Desk outlook for today, Friday, April 14th. The Consumer Price Index report is expected this morning at 7:30, as well as the Retail Sales report. On Monday, the Housing Market Index is due. Next Friday, a report on existing home sales is also expected. And with all the bad press, we'll see where the earnings report from United ends up. Their earning report will release on Monday. Today is Good Friday. Sunday is Easter Sunday. I sat down with Cardinal Blaise Supich. He's the Archbishop of Chicago, serving nearly 2.5 million Catholics in the region. And he shared with me the philosophy behind the church's new anti-violence campaign that kicks off today, which includes a new job training program.
The whole initiative is about making sure that people come out of their shadows of hopelessness, that we can't do anything. And so I'm just hoping to bring people to, together to be kind of a magnet to allow the diverse elements of our society and our city to realize that we are better than this and we can do better. And that's why we're doing the initiative for peace with helping to fund parish-based and community-based programs with small grants, but also opening new centers in troubled areas where we can offer some social services and bring people together through the on-the-table discussions.
Revitalize youth programs and implementing a robust anti-racism component to all of this, to all the religious education classes, the construction of a new job training center, the launch of a program for youth around the city. You know, gun violence in the city is actually down compared to this time last year, as they reported, but still 685 people shot, 124 of them fatally in the first quarter of 2017. It remains one of the deadliest starts to a year in about two decades. And although the church is taking these great strides, parents and those who live in these communities must also be a part of this plan of peace.
That's exactly right. We have to make sure that all of our young people, not just those in troubled areas, but throughout the whole counties that we serve in Cook and Lake, understand that if we're going to live the gospel, we have to strike violence from our hearts, and we have to be active peace builders. It's not just a matter of avoiding violence and making sure that we keep safe ourselves, but we have to be active peace builders.
And no community is better than the other. You know, I live on the Northwest Side, and we've had our share of crime and shootings as well. There's no community that is immune to all of this. So we can't look at it and saying, oh, it's just the South Side. Oh, it's just this area. Oh, it's just this demographic. We've got to look as a whole and work together.
That's right. And I think that we're better off when we don't live in our own little isolated zones. We want to be proud of our city. And I think that the international attention and national attention about violence here is something that people just are tired of and realize that we can do better. And by coming together as a great city, we can improve the situation.
You cited an expansion of a program called Strong Future, which I think began at a St. Sabina. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it is. It does give people an opportunity, first of all, to realize that people do care about them, but gives people a pathway forward as well. And so we're looking at that, but also the BMN program, BAM, and the one for the women called WOW, to give especially young people and those who feel as though they have no pathway forward an opportunity to see that there is another option for them. A lot of the young people that I talk to in the troubled parts of the city feel as though they're just kind of locked in. Their future is over already and written for them. Strong Futures and the rest of it give them the opportunity and a pathway forward.
And a place to go, and a place they can trust, and a place that they can be safe.
Exactly right.
Now, we are also living, Cardinal, in one of the most divisive political climates of our time. And,
you know, there's violence, but there's also a lot of hostility out there toward people of different nationalities, races, beliefs. In the Archdiocese, and I looked at this, masses are said in over 25 languages. And the church to me, and attending weekly mass, has always been a place of peace. And as we celebrate Easter and families are brought together, that church needs to continue to be that place of peace where we can bring people together every week.
It does, and the real issue I think you're getting at here is we need to promote a greater sense of solidarity among ourselves. You know, it's not just enough to respect life and respect human dignity of other people, but we have to see how we're connected with each other. The Pope has written about this in terms of the environment that we live in, this common home of our earth that we have to take responsibility for. But the issue of solidarity, as the Church teaches it, also means that we understand that we're all beggars, we're all debtors as we come into the world. So much has been given to us, and we need to be good stewards of that and make sure that people also have the resources and the opportunities to live a full life. So it does turn all of this on its head. Instead of seeing ourselves as a consumer and in some way a producer, as human beings, we're really here to make sure that the common good is pursued in our politics and our economy and all strata of life.
And you can hear my entire conversation with the Cardinal on Easter Sunday morning and at WGNradio.com. All right, Pete McMurray's in for Steve. We'll turn things over to him next on 720 WGN.